Mark chapter 1, we're looking at verses 35 through 45. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, and he touched him. And he said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him, and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Something that I have observed over the years is that people have a tendency to develop images in their heads of other people that are oftentimes not true to the nature of the actual person. And when I say image here, I'm referring to the impressions of the character and the attributes of a person that make them who they are, their nature. And let me give you an example. Sometimes a hopeful young man or a young woman will fall in love with a person that he or she envisions to be a certain way, and then they marry. And over time, the newlywed, experiencing the wonders of marital cohabitation, truly comes to know the actual person to whom they are pledged for life. And as a result of this deeper knowing, the original vision or the image of that person is modified to an image much closer to reality. And a positive side to this can be that intimacy is considerably enhanced and love continues to grow over time as the couple comes to know one another better and better. And this is particularly true when a person marries wisely. A negative side, however, is that the opposite may be true when the spectacles of idealization come off in viewing one's spouse, something that I've seen, and perhaps you have seen, as a foundational problem in some marriages. And considering this concept, what image do we carry around in our head concerning Jesus Christ? How true to reality is the image of Christ as we envision him to the unique individual that he is revealed to be in the Scriptures? As for Jesus' physical characteristics, you may have an image of in your head of Jesus that is like pictures you've seen hanging around in some churches, pictures of a kind-looking white man with blue eyes holding a lamb. Or maybe when you think of Jesus, you see in your mind's eye Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in the movie The Passion of the Christ. And clearly such mental images of our Lord are problematic, since Jesus Christ is not that. Hence, such mental pictures give us a false image of Christ. So concerning the Lord Jesus' nature, is the image that you have in your head consistent with the reality of the God-man himself? Is it? For whatever reason, we can get the Lord's image in our head as we see Him twisted to a point where it doesn't represent a true picture of who our Lord is as He is revealed in the Scriptures. It can be a false image. And this can particularly happen when we lose that balance of His humanity and His divinity. And with an imbalance that diminishes His humanity, a false image could lead us to having doubts as to Jesus' relationship with us, as He's just too far removed to really understand us. So He's so far removed that He cannot be in touch with what we have to deal with as human beings in this world every day. This could damage our confidence, could damage our faith in our Lord Jesus. Indeed, we could come to judge, or rather view Jesus as one who only sees our sins and judgment, and not His as He is revealed to be in the Scriptures, as the compassionate one who was intimately involved in the human struggle in a condition which He was fully immersed. And the better we grasp this accurate picture that the Gospels portray of Jesus Christ in His humanity and His divinity, our confidence in our Savior is strengthened and doubts about Him are removed. And this requires us to study and to meditate upon the Scriptures, learning more about Christ. And then the Word and the Spirit reveal Jesus to us. The image of Christ that we have in our minds becomes more and more like the reality of the person He is, shaped by the Word of God. And the result is that we have an experience that is a heightened knowing, and our wonder and our awe of the Lord increases as our relationship with Him increases in intimacy, and we come to love Him more and more. So with that in mind, what does our gospel passage today teach us about Jesus? What kind of picture does it paint of our Lord? Now, Mark 1, 35 through 45, it reveals to us aspects of Jesus' humanity and His divinity. And today we're going to look at the former, particularly how Jesus' human need was as it interrelates with His compassion. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll examine what this passage reveals about His divinity as demonstrated in His divine purpose and His power. And take a look again at verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. Now, why do you think that Jesus went out to a desolate place, a solitary place? Now, this was not the only time that Jesus goes out to a solitary place. Five times, Mark records Jesus going out to a solitary place, twice here in chapter 1, and then three times in chapter 6. And in each time, the connotation is that Jesus was seeking a place to get away from the crowds. And verse 35 specifically gives us a very good reason for Jesus deliberately seeking a solitary place, and that was simply to pray. And so what do you think the point was for Jesus praying in such circumstances? Well, let's consider the context. It was the morning after He taught in the synagogue in Capernaum. He had driven out demons. He healed the sick. He not only ministered to those in Capernaum, but to all of those from the surrounding areas that brought people for healing and exorcism to Him. And likely it had been exhausting for Him. I mean, a lot of people were brought to Him. He was busy nonstop with these people. I mean, He was human, after all. had to be exhausting due to the sheer number of people and the overwhelming need in which Jesus was engaging. It seems logical that he prayed for strength and perseverance in his mission. Logical how? Well, Jesus was a caregiver. He was one who had just helped these people in extreme physical need, extreme spiritual need. And he healed so many people of these things that he needed strength and the ability to persevere. And he sought this, what you could call a renewal. He sought it with the Father in prayer. He implemented basically what soldiers might call a resiliency plan. So maybe you've heard of compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is something that can happen to a caregiver as they are just overwhelmed with the needy. This is a very real thing. And caregivers can be doctors, nurses, physicians, assistants, EMS personnel, counselors of all sorts, and pastors. And a brief description of compassion fatigue that I've found is that compassion fatigue happens when helpers, caregivers, become emotionally drained because of hearing all about the pain and the trauma of their patients and families. The helpers still care and want to help, but they do not have the emotional energy to do so. Compassion fatigue. From my own experience in Baghdad, compassion fatigue can manifest itself with thoughts like, what's everyone getting so excited about? He's only got some shrapnel in his arm. It's not like he had his leg blown off or anything. And further, compassion fatigue can manifest itself with an avoidance of the needy and a dread of having to deal with them. And truly, these phenomena are contrary to the desires of the caregiver, but they just can't seem to help it. For the caregiver has been traumatized by the trauma of others. Experiencing such compassion fatigue can lead to guilt. It can lead to disillusionment with calling, PTSD, and depression. And so consider Jesus' situation. He certainly could have been a candidate for suffering from compassion fatigue, and this due to the needs of humanity being dumped upon him in a never-ending flow, while all along he just demonstrated how much he cared for people, his compassion for them, working long and hard hours, not only teaching but healing and driving out demons. But did Jesus suffer from compassion fatigue? Well, the evidence suggests that he did not. Look at verse 41. Verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. He showed this compassion. And then we see over the course of his ministry, Jesus' compassion continued for people. It did not falter. It remained strong and real, as we see throughout the Gospels, for example, in Mark 6:34, which says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And then again in Mark 8:2, where Jesus said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat. In addition to these spiritually terrorized, demon-possessed people, Jesus' compassion was upon those individuals who were sick and the crowds who needed a shepherd to show them the way, and was even directed towards people's physical needs of nourishment. Time after time, despite the stress and the constant neediness of people, Jesus continued to provide for them. And how did he do it? How did he manage the stress that was put upon him by the hordes of the needy? In Mark 1:35, helps to answer that question. Jesus sought out a solitary place to regroup and to pray. For not only did he do this after that remarkable day and a night in Capernaum, he also did the same thing after expressing compassion upon the crowd of 5,000 people in Mark 6, where he taught them and he fed them. For immediately after his care with the 5,000, Mark 6:45 says, "And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray." Jesus took steps to avoid compassion fatigue. He went off to be alone, and he spent time with his Father in prayer. Hence, he was able to remain resilient and compassionate towards those who came to him. And let's look at another incident of Jesus needing to go to a solitary place from today's passage here in Mark 1, verse 45. "But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." What further does this tell us about Jesus' motivation to go to the solitary places? Well, due to his testimony of the healed leper, Jesus' popularity increased as a miracle worker to such a point that the crowds continuously mobbed him. And the needy came out of the woodwork, overwhelming him with their plea for him to be their miracle worker. And next week we will take a look at Jesus' divine purpose as revealed here, but his primary purpose was not to just be a miracle worker. Therefore, he drew back. Jesus needed a time out. He needed to get away from the people so that he could regroup. So in addition to spiritual renewal, his escaping to a solitary place was a method that Jesus used to stay on track with his mission and his divine purpose, why he came to earth to be our Savior. Not only was the crowd's unwitting neediness threatening to push him off track with his mission, but his chosen disciples were doing the very same thing. Look at 36 and 37. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" When Simon and the other disciples woke up that morning, they looked around, and where was Jesus? They couldn't find Jesus. Where'd he go? Because he'd gone to a solitary place. And they were alarmed. The crowds, they were looking for him. Disciples joined in the search. And when Simon found Jesus, think of this, he had the audacity, really, the audacity to reproach the Lord. I mean, it's as if he said, "What are you doing here when you should be in the midst of the multitudes who need your help and are clamoring for you?" I mean, and that's really kind of how it comes across as you read this passage. I mean, what tremendous audacity of Simon, how he could think that he knew more about what Jesus was about than Jesus did, especially after having seen his power at work. And I think this seeming audacity was actually due to Simon and his disciples not really knowing Jesus all that well at that point. They didn't have the right image in their head as to who he was and what he was about. And they still couldn't see past his just being a miracle worker like the crowd saw him. And it is comforting that the disciples' ignorance would be filled over time as they learned more about Jesus as he revealed himself to them through his words and his deeds. And it is with their testimony, that we are enlightened as to who the reality of Christ, his true nature, For example, these two incidences we looked at today, as recorded by Mark in his gospel, were a faithful recording of the witness of Simon Peter. So Simon was telling on himself, and Mark faithfully recorded it. So this disciple who had a wrong image in his head of who the Lord was, over time, through the Word of God and the work of the Spirit in his life, he came to truly see Christ as he was. And so in his witness, we have a partial, yet a true, one you can bank on, picture of Jesus. And what we see here is that Jesus needed solitary time. He needed it for prayer and renewal. It was a time for him to get back to the basics, so to speak, in order to keep him focused on his primary mission. And in addition to instruction, we find great comfort in this picture of Christ. As for instruction and our following him as his disciples, we learn that seeking the solitary places for ourselves from time to time is very good for us. It's good for us to seek solitary places. I mean, Jesus led the way in this. It is in the solitary places that we can have those good, intimate prayers with the Lord. It is in the solitary places that we can receive spiritual renewal. It is in the solitary places that we can focus on our calling and remove distractions so that we can stay on course with what is important. And it is right and it is good for us to seek solitary places for these things. I mean, if Jesus had to seek solitary places for such purposes in such a way, I mean, who are we to think we don't need that? Who are we to think we're better than the Lord and not needing this very human need? I mean, you don't have to be a caregiver. You don't have to be a caregiver to be spiritually or need spiritual renewal. I mean, this is something that we all need. Everybody, whoever you are, we need, due to the cares of the world, we need that time for spiritual renewal. Every one of us. And I encourage you, find time during the week. Find time. Make time. Don't just think, well, if I have time. Make time during the week to get away from folks that you work with and live with. And make that time a time for reflection and a time for prayer, communing with our Lord. Jesus found it necessary to do so. And so must we. It is a great comfort to us that Jesus displayed human need. It's a comfort. As a pastor, I'm personally greatly comforted to know that my Savior understands the struggle to stay resilient in caring for others. And yes, yes, it takes the Spirit of the Lord to help in these things. Strength, perseverance. For all of us, it is a great comfort to know that when you feel overwhelmed and when you struggle to continue on whatever it is that you're going through, and you know what I'm talking about, whatever it is, Jesus understands. He understands you and your life situation. In a way, as Jesus validated our humanity and His humanity. It is okay to be weary in our daily struggle. It is okay to have the needs that we have. It is not a weakness to need to take a time out. Rather, taking time out further strengthens us in our walk with Christ. Jesus understands our needs, and He doesn't look down on us and our struggles here. He, he, He didn't go, look at those pathetic people. He goes, he understands. Because he lived as a human being who had needs. And so he understands us. He struggled. And in his struggle, he proved his compassion for us. Since Jesus displayed human need, we must have confidence in his compassion for us. In our study of the Scriptures, we gain an accurate mental picture concerning the character and the attributes of the Lord, his nature. And particularly here in Mark 1, verses 35 through 45, as we examine his humanity and his human needs, we see that Jesus was a man of prayer. He needed solitude at times for spiritual renewal. He sought out solitary places to help keep him focused, or a place where he could go to help his focus on the mission of his ministry while he was here upon this earth. And with this image of the humanity of our Lord, we must look to his example in our dealing with our own human needs, and to do so without shame as we seek to follow him, confidently counting upon his compassion for us. The Lord loves us. He loves us so much. And his compassion is real. Whatever it is you're going through, look to him. And it's in Christ's name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider what we learn here about Jesus' humanity in this passage, Lord, help us to better know our Lord from it, from the picture that we are given, this testimony of his actions. Help us to see how our Lord led the way and showed us how to continue to be strong in your strength, how to persevere in your strength. Help us to find those times, that's times to be alone, where we can go to you in prayer and with our needs, and where we can gain renewal, spiritual renewal, in those things that we deal with every day. Some of those things that we struggle with terribly and that weigh upon us. Lord, help us find those solitary places after your example so that we might find your help to continue to stay true and to move forward as we follow you. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.